Thank you, Matthew and team.
That was awesome.
Okay, you can clap if you want to. Morning, everyone. My name's Tim, one of your pastors here. And Matthew, I remember that game, the calling back game. Yeah, we used to say, I got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? Right? And then you throw it back at the other team. That's what we did in baseball. I mean, the girls' teams did. The guys' teams didn't. We're beyond that. Hey, shout out to all the men who are at the men's retreat right now. There's about 60 guys up at Camp Kakawa having a good time. Kent was there yesterday all day and said that it was a good time together from what he experienced. So, yeah, we'll be thinking about them. I'll pray for them at the beginning here. And also, for those of you who are long past college and university days, so that you know, this past week or two has been exam season for our college and university students, so I just wanted to say congrats to those of you who are here who finished up this week or who graduated. That's a big accomplishment. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So I get to oversee the youth and young adults at our church, so if you're new and you've wondered what's going on for kids in middle school up to young adult age, so age 11 or 12 up to early 30s, I'd be the guy that you'd want to talk to. Come talk to me after the service, and I'll let you know how we can plug you in. We got a nice short passage this morning, which is nice, but we're going to jump right in, okay? I want to start by reading our passage for the morning. It's from Genesis 21, verses 1 to 7. If you have a Bible, which I hope you do, please open it up and find Genesis 21. I'll read it over, and then we'll do some explaining and applying. It's that simple. Genesis 21, 1 to 7 says, "The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." What? "And Sarah said, 'God's made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me.' And she said, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I've borne him a son in his old age.'" I love that last line. "Yet I've borne him a son in his old age." She's 90, right? She's 90. It's like, well, at least I'm not as old as you, is kind of the feel, the way that she worded that. Let me pray. That's the word of the Lord for us this morning. Father, thank you for this morning that we can worship you for your faithfulness, God. It's almost like Matthew had read this passage ahead of time while choosing the songs. And I pray, Father, for all the men up at the men's retreat, that you give them a good time together this morning, that you would bring them home to their families safely this afternoon. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would fill us now to receive the word that you've given for us to receive. Would you illuminate the words of your scripture to implant them onto our hearts? Would we leave here this morning different than we came, Father? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, if you've been on this journey with us through the book of Abraham, you might be wondering, chapter 21. I thought last week Jamie was in chapter 16, and it's true. We skipped ahead a few, and even if you, you would have noticed that the names have changed. Maybe while I was reading it up on the screen, you're like, what? It said Sarah. I thought her name was Sarai in chapter 16, and it says Abraham. I thought his name was Abram. And you may have been wondering what it was talking about, because in chapter 16, the Lord gives Abram a son through the servant girl Hagar. His name's Ishmael. And all of a sudden, here it's Sarah having a son. Well, a lot happened between chapter 16 and 17. So God had given Abraham a promise years before that he'd have many descendants. And Abraham and Sarah seem to take the matters into their own hands a little bit in chapter 16. Well, Sarah suggests that Abraham has a son through some other woman, Hagar, a slave girl, and they have Ishmael. And you might think, okay, God's promise is flowing through Ishmael now, and Abraham was probably thinking that, actually, in verse 16. Even though we get a little bit of an allusion a sentence in there that shows that maybe Abraham shouldn't have slept with Hagar. Maybe that wasn't a good idea, because it says Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah, which kind of takes us back to Genesis 3 when Adam listens to the voice of Eve and not to God. So maybe it wasn't the best thing that Abraham did there, but nevertheless, Abraham's probably feeling like the promise that God had made him of descendants was now going to go through his son Ishmael. And that's where we ended last week. Well, here's what happens after chapter 16. In chapter 17, all of a sudden, God comes and visits Abraham. Abraham is now 99 years old. That's an old, well, no, I can't. Some of you might be 99. I don't think so. If you're 99, excuse me for saying that that's old. But as far as lifespan, that is pretty old. So Abraham's 99, which makes the shocking that much more shocking. It makes the promise that much more shocking that God would say, would give Abraham a son in his old age. So chapter 17, God visits Abraham again, and he says, your name has been Abram, which means exalted father, and I'm going to change your name to Abraham, which means father of a multitude of nations. So God comes to Abram, visits Abram. Now his son Ishmael's already 13 years old at this time, and God says, your name is now Abraham. I'm going to make a covenant with you, and it is going to flow through a son that you are going to have by your wife Sarah, who up to this point, a subplot of this whole story, since God made his promise to Abraham that he was going to have lots of kids, was that his wife Sarah was unable to conceive. She was barren, and she was getting older and older and older, and less and less and less and less likely to be able to conceive children. And at this time, God visits Abraham, and when he's 99 and Sarah's 89, and God says, Abraham, you're going to be a daddy, and Sarah's going to be a mommy. Isn't that neat? This time next year, I'm going to visit her, and she's going to have a kid. And the promise, the covenant that I made with you to make you really fruitful and to multiply you and to make a nation out of you, and the kings of the earth will come from you, and that I will be your God and you will be my people, all of that now is going to go through a son that you're going to have from Sarah. And Abraham hears the news, and it says he falls on his face and he starts laughing. He falls on his face, because how unlikely is that news? I don't think Abraham was necessarily unbelieving, but you can say he would have been shocked at that news, right? He's 99. What's the likelihood of him having kids? Falls on his face and laughs. God sees his laughter and says, Abraham, when you have your son, I want you to call him Isaac, which means he laughs. So you're going to have a son of promise, and as a reminder of your reaction when I told you this news, you're going to call him He Laughs, that every time that you say your son's name, you're going to remember when I gave you this amazing promise. So Abraham kind of receives the promise in faith. He knows that it's a true promise because he knows the God who gave him the promise. And then God says again at the end of that section of Genesis 17 that next time this year, Sarah's going to have a son. God's promise is specific now. This is going to happen in a year. Sarah's going to have a son. She's going to hold him in his arms. Then God says, as a sign of this promise, as a sign that you're my covenant people, you're my special family, he institutes this thing called circumcision, which is pretty painful, but I think it's almost a bit of a test, whether how much are you going to trust me, Abraham? Are you willing? I want you to circumcise every male in your household at 8 days old. And Abraham, as an obedient man at 99 at the time, goes under the knife. And his son Ishmael, who's 13 at the time, this demonstrates Abraham's obedience to God, says, Ishmael, God just talked to me, and it's your time. So if you're in middle school this morning, imagine no anesthetics, and you get the picture. That's extreme obedience that Abraham is demonstrating to God. He's doing what God wants him to do in that moment. Then in chapter 18 now, so God gave the promise just to Abraham. Chapter 18, the Lord visits Abraham again, and this time Sarah is right outside the tent. So this time God makes a promise to Abraham that he's going to have a son through Sarah to name Isaac. He gives Abraham this promise, but it's for Sarah's ears because she's right outside the tent. She's listening in on the Lord, and the Lord says, your barren wife is going to bear a son.
And Sarah has a similar response to Abraham. It says she laughed to herself. Now, Abraham, he fell on his face on the floor. I think that was exuberant. Sarah's laughter, laughing to herself, I think, is tainted probably with tears of 89 years of waiting for a child, and now God gives him that news. And she couldn't handle that news, so she laughed to herself. I think it was years of disappointment and expectation and waiting and hoping and longing manifesting itself. They weren't necessarily happy tears. Probably wondering, God, why so long? Why did you make us wait so long? 24 years from the initial promise to fulfillment. And God tells Sarah then, hey, next time this year you will have a son. And it's a crazy, crazy story. God senses that in Sarah's laughter, he says, hey, why did Sarah laugh when I told her she was going to have a son? And then God poses this question that I want you to remember in your mind as we go this morning. God poses this question to Sarah. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah laughs, and God says, is anything too hard for the Lord, Sarah? Assuring her, sure, Sarah, you're old, you're barren, you haven't been able to conceive, you're worn down. Those are Sarah's own words. She says, would I have a kid when I'm worn out? Would I still have pleasure, she says, and it says Sarah was beyond the years. Womanhood basically had left her, it says, so she was past menstruation. It was impossible for her to have a child naturally. Impossibility. So God poses her the question when she laughs. Is anything too hard for me, Sarah? Next time this year, you're going to have a son. This is her hopes, her dreams being fulfilled. Now we get to our passage. Chapter 21. Now I hope all of that backstory, the waiting, the longing, the old age, the barrenness, we come to this point, and this is all a climax of the story of God fulfilling his promise to Abraham and Sarah. And we're going to take it in three chunks. I believe this passage kind of starts with talking about God. So if you're a note taker, you'd want to write down on your paper, faithful God, and then we'll look at faith-filled Abraham, and then we'll look at awestruck Sarah as we go through. So the first two verses are going to come back up on the screen. Faithful God. The first two verses are all about God. It says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. If you have a pencil or a pen in your Bible, underline that, please. As he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. Parallel statements. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Okay, let's count how many times in these first two verses it mentions the name of the Lord. The Lord, he, or God. Okay, the Lord one time, as he had said two times. The Lord three times did to Sarah as he had promised four times. And then at the end, which God had spoken to him. Five times in the first two verses, it talks about the Lord and him being good on his promise to Sarah and to Abraham. So what I want you to notice right off the bat is that this story is all about God. God's the hero of what happened in Abraham and Sarah's life. It was impossible had God not intervened. The word the Lord visited Sarah. When the Bible in the Old Testament in particular talks about God visiting somebody, it's saying God is intervening into human activity. God is jumping on the scene. The Lord jumped on the scene to Sarah as he had said. And what had he said? He said, you're old and barren and I'm going to give you a son. And this is pointing to the fact that he fulfilled his promise, which tells us something very exciting. And it's that this birth extols God's faithfulness, not Abraham and Sarah's accomplishments, right? This isn't about Abraham and Sarah being able to naturally have a child and pull up their bootstraps and make it happen. They were completely helpless on their part to help God fulfill the promise that God had made to them. They were completely helpless. This is God intervening on their behalf to open her womb to allow her to have a child. God's the hero of this. Make no mistake, it's not their fertility or virility. God made this happen for them. It's about God's faithfulness, and this is an act of grace that God gave to them. Helpless, undeserving, God makes them a promise, and he comes through. He's the hero. And also, remember the question that God posed Sarah when she laughed that I told you. God asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? Okay, these first two verses tell us nothing is too hard for the Lord. They answer the question, right? Here, now we are a year later, fulfillment has come. Sarah's had a child, which says nothing is impossible for the Lord. The fact that Sarah was 90 years old, had never had kids, Abe was 100, did not matter at all because God had made the promise and he was now fulfilling it. Nothing is impossible for him. You know, I was thinking the other day, I think even if Sarah had been 300, it wouldn't have mattered. God, if he said, I'm going to do this, would have done it. Right? Nothing is impossible for God. He can do anything. We get that from this story. This story answers the question. Nothing can get in the way of God's plan, his covenant with his people. Absolutely nothing. Not old age, not anything. And we see that this side of Jesus, as believers, we see that nothing could stand in the way of God accomplishing his purpose for us. Nothing could have gotten in the way. Nothing could have thwarted it. Not barrenness, not longing, not waiting. Nothing. And the same is true of us today. Right? It's still the same faithful God who has made promises to us in his word. It's the same faithful God for whom nothing is impossible that can do anything. And I wonder sometimes if we limit him. And I mean from my own personal experience, times that I know God has said something to me or spoken a promise to me through his word and I doubt it. And he whispers to me, is anything impossible for me? And I wonder if the same is true for you, that you've heard the promises of God and you haven't been able to think that they apply to you or mean anything to you because you actually think that he couldn't do it. The question for you this morning is anything impossible for God? No matter what mountain you're facing, no matter how dark the cloud is anything impossible for God? Can he do anything? Is he still the same God who came through for Abraham and Sarah? And I think that he is. I know that he is. Remember that next time you're faced with a situation that seems too difficult or too far gone. Ask yourself, is anything too hard for God? And this story should remind you, nothing is too hard for God. He's faithful and he's powerful. So God promised Abraham, who was 99, and Sarah, 89, a son. We see that when God says he's going to do something, he does it. Right? God doesn't waste, he doesn't waste his words. He doesn't mince his promises. When God says he's going to do something, he does it. I heard a story just recently about a young girl. You got to imagine it with me. A young girl is walking home from school with her friend, another young girl. Let's say they're in grade one. And the one girl blurts out, hey, I got 10 bucks. I can imagine my daughter doing this. Hey, I got 10 bucks. And her friend says, really? That's cool. Let me see. Let me see the 10 bucks that you say you have. And the girl reaches her hand in her pocket. And she opens up her hand. And what's in her hand is 5 loonies. What's in her hand is 5 loonies. And her friend looks kind of perplexed and says, what are you talking about? You have $10. You have $5. You have $5 in your hand. And she says, well, no, you know what happened this morning before I left for school? My dad said when I got home from school today, he was going to give me $5. So I have 10. She believed in the faithfulness of the promise of her dad, so much so that she was able to look at the 5 and see 10, because she knew that her daddy was going to do it. She knew that her daddy was going to do it. That's the kind of God that you and I serve. The kind of daddy that when he says he's going to do something, we can take it to the bank because he does it. He doesn't waste his promises. They're different than ours. We're cynical that anything's actually going to come true in our lives. We have fortune cookie faith. And here, God makes a promise to Abraham and Sarah, and we can see that when he makes a promise, it's as good as done. Take it to the bank. His promises are different than ours. And I've been meditating this week on a bunch of promises of God that maybe you have not thought relevant to you, or maybe you don't think they apply to you, or that God won't actually do them. Here's a few that I thought of that I'd like to remind you of. To give you some good news, God, being sure to his word, tells you that he means it when he says that he loves you. He means it when he says that he loves you, right? John 3:16 says that. God being true to his word means that he means it when he says that he's got plans for you. Jeremiah 29. He knows what he's doing. He's got plans for your life. It means when God says that you don't have to be afraid because he's with you, fear not, I am with you, in Isaiah 41, you have good reason to believe that you have nothing to fear because God is with you. That's something that he says, and it's true. And God is actually with us even when we don't feel that he is with us. That is true. The book of Jonah is all about this prophet running away from the presence of God, and a big message in it is that Jonah can't get away from God's presence. He thinks he can outrun God, but he can't. God's always with him. Or Psalm 139, where can I go away from your presence, God? And the answer is nowhere. He's always with you, even when you don't feel that he is with you. You might feel this morning that God's abandoned you and that he's distant, but let me tell you, he is as near as your own breath this morning. Before Jesus goes up to heaven in Matthew 28, he says, gives them the great commission and gives them this great promise, behold, I'm with you always until the end of the age. He is with us, his presence, he is with us. Ephesians 1 promises us that through Christ, we can be God's sons and daughters. That's a wonderful promise. Another one that we look forward to, Revelation 22, the end of Scripture, Jesus says, I'm coming back. There's a promise you can take to the bank. You can look at the world and see things seem like they're going nowhere, but guess what? God's taking them somewhere, and Jesus is coming back. What God says he will do, he does. He's the faithful God for whom nothing is impossible. What he says he will do, he does, which means you and I can trust him. You and I can trust him. We see all throughout the Bible Abraham as an example of faith. Faith means deep trust. The New Testament talks about Abraham's faith over and over and over. Hebrews 11, Galatians 4, all these different spots pointing to Abraham. And what you see, I pointed out his obedience in getting circumcised at 99, right? There's a sign of Abraham's obedience to God because he trusted God. We see this now under faith-filled Abraham, verses 3 to 5. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. He laughs. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old that God had commanded him. He was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. What we see in these few verses is just Abraham responding in obedience to the gift that God gave them. Right? God was good on his promise, even though it was completely unlikely and impossible without his intervention, and now Abraham responds in obedience. He does what God said. I was thinking this week, what if Abraham didn't like the name Isaac? Right? Maybe he was thinking, God, that's a dumb name. Like, he laughs? Okay, but here we see Abraham's faith demonstrated by his obedience. He does what God wants him to do no matter what. And I think sometimes we don't recognize that obedience, obeying God, is a result of having faith in God, trusting God. We will only obey God if we trust God, if we trust that he's good, that he loves us, that he has our best in his mind. Okay, we'll only obey him, especially when it's something that we don't really want to do, if we trust in his love and his goodness and his faithfulness towards us. I recognized this week with one of our kids. He was throwing a fit over an outfit. Okay, this happens, getting ready for school in the morning. Pick out your clothes. I can't pick out my clothes. Mom picks out the clothes, and she looks at them and says, oh, I hate those clothes. I don't want to wear those. And it's like, okay, pick your own clothes, and she's not able to do it. So then finally Mom says, these are the clothes that you're going to wear, and screams, right? So there you got what she wants and what Mom wants. Who are you going to obey? Then I, as the dad with a cape, come in and say, I'm going to fix this. I can't fix anything. And so there I am with her, and she's screaming at me about how she doesn't want to wear that. And I dig in my heels and say, you know what? It's not even about what you want anymore. Daddy just wants you to obey. Like, what this is coming down to is just wear what we want you to wear. And she put up a fuss, and she was literally, like, wrestling me while I was wrestling a shirt onto her, because I'm stronger still. Right? And getting pants on, kicking and screaming, and got her finally calmed down, wearing what mommy had wanted her to wear. And as we were walking to school that morning, holding hands, which is favorite part of my day, holding hands, saying, hey, sweetie, you know what? All we wanted you to do was obey in that moment. I know it wasn't the outfit you wanted to wear, but you got to trust us. And it struck me in that moment, the relationship between obedience and trust. We will only obey if we trust. We will only obey God's commands if we trust him, if our faith is in him. And Abraham is an example over and over and over of obedience. Why? Because he took God at his word and he knew who he was and that he was trustworthy. Faith-filled Abraham. Love this guy. Let's carry on. Let's look now at Sarah. Awestruck Sarah. Verse 6 and 7. Sarah said, this is great, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I've borne him a son in his old age? There's a play on words going on here, right? Remember Isaac's name, laughter? Remember that Abraham laughed when he heard the news and that Sarah laughed when she heard the news? Remember that Sarah's laughter was probably laughter mixed with tears? Of sorrow and pain. And now Sarah is saying, God, so there's the object of the sentence, the person behind it, God has made laughter for me. Meaning I'm laughing now, and this is laughter of joy. I am so happy. And my son's name is He Laughs. God has made laughter for me. God gave me my son, and I'm laughing now. As I hold him in my arms, I'm reminded of the fact that God came through, that God was faithful to his promise, that he was watching out for me, that I can trust him. He's made laughter for me, and everyone who hears will laugh over me. She's talking about everybody who hears their story that is all about God and how God is faithful and how he comes through for his people. Everyone will rejoice with her. They will laugh with her now. Tears and laughter and awe and wonder. They should marvel at what God has done for them, for Abraham and Sarah. They should laugh over her. Who would have said that God could do the impossible, basically? God gives a son, and Sarah responds in worship. This is awestruck wonder. This is rejoicing. This is exuberant joy at what God had done. He visited the helpless couple and gave them the greatest gift ever. Abraham responded in faithful obedience to the gift, and now Sarah worships God. It doesn't get any better than that. She was helpless, and God accomplished it for her. Look what he's done. Look at his power. Look at how he remembered me. Look how he opened my womb and gave me this son. Tell others. Tell others. Others, recount the story so other people can laugh over me, she says. But like any story in the Old Testament, it's not actually about Sarah and Abraham and Isaac. Let me draw some connections for you here. This story about God giving a helpless couple a son of promise. The greater story is God giving us his son as a fulfillment of a new covenant in his blood so we can respond in faithful obedience to that son that should lead us to worship what he's done for us. That son who God sent to the earth to live the obedient, perfectly obedient life that we can't, and to die the gruesome death that we should have so that we can be a part of God's family. In him, we can be a part of God's family through faith. To demonstrate God's love and his faithfulness and his commitment to you and to I. This isn't just a story about Abraham and Sarah. It's a story about God and his son and how great he is. And my hope that through talking this morning, through the worship that we've been singing, is that maybe you're here this morning with tears of sorrow and you're feeling in the pit. May those be turned into joyous laughter and worship as we remember what God has done for us through his son. May you be able to feel the weight of joy that Sarah and Abraham must have felt when God came through, because God came through for you and I like that with his son Jesus. And that's the best news that we could ever have. Worship team, please come up. You know, this week, I was floored at God's faithfulness. Of course, ruminating over this text and meditating on it and praying about it. God's faithfulness to Abraham and Sarah, but then it hit me afresh again, God's faithfulness to us, his people, that he would make a way for us helpless people to come to him through his son. God's made good on his promise. He's been faithful to you and to me. And maybe you are here this morning and you feel like you've been waiting a long, long, long time for God to come through on his promise to you. Remember, God's timing is different than ours. And ultimately, maybe in the situation you're facing right now, you don't feel that God has been faithful. But ultimately, scripture points to the fact that God has been faithful because he gave you his son. Remember that. Marvel at that. It floors me every time I think about it, that God would love me enough to send his son for me and for you. And marvel at God's faithfulness in the everyday situations of your life. Okay, I wrestle with this whole thing from time to time. Some of you might as well, of trusting God. I get nervous and anxious and need to remind myself of the promises of God. They apply to me too. So this week with our high school youth Wednesday night, we had a time of silence and solitude. Kind of weird. About 20 high school students in silence for a half an hour. And it was a hot night, so we were outside at the school next door, and they're spread all around the field and the playground with Bible in hand and pen and paper to hear what God might want to say to them in that moment, to make space in their busy lives. And so I was sitting there doing the same thing, reading through scripture, thinking about today. And you know what God said to me, what he had to remind me of? I gotcha. I'm all over this. I got your back. You're mine. Exactly what he expresses to Abraham and Sarah. And what he might want to say to you this morning, whatever you're facing, the reminder, I've got you. I've got your back. I have come through and I always come through. Always come through. Marvel at it. God has done it. Let's worship him. Amen.